Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast. After a week which saw monumental All-Arab AFC Champions League semi-final and the start of the 2024 AFC Under-23 Asian Cup in Qatar, a competition that will decide, of course, the continent's qualifiers for this summer's Olympic Games in Paris. And as always, we'll discuss the latest from the Saudi Pro League. So much to get going with. Joining me as always, Arab News sports editor Ali Khaled. Ali, only one place to start this week. Al Hilal's long winning streak of 34 matches has come to an end in spectacular fashion. And before you hit it, I did say it would be when you're least expecting it, right?
Yep. Hi, Peter. Yeah, good to be back. And yes, I mean, no one saw this coming. It was a big game. It was against Al Ain, obviously, in the AFC Champions League semi-final first leg. But, I mean, you know, we might have expect a bit, possibly a draw from Al Ain. You know, we did say, you know, like, no, don't underestimate Al Ain, who of course beaten it had in the last round. It was
spectacular.
Absolutely spectacular game. You know, they went into a 3-0 lead in the first half. Sufyan Rahimi scored a hat trick, two of them penalties. There was another penalty later on for Al Ain as well. I mean, in moments, Al Hilal, you know, sort of came back and put a lot of pressure on Al Ain. Obviously, where they made it 3-1, could have made it like, had it gone 3-2, who knows what would have happened, because I was still relatively early in the second half. But, you know, Al Ain got that second penalty and made it 4-1. I think in the end, like, a very deserved victory for Al Ain. They deserve so much credit. You know, the job Crespo has done is fantastic. Leaves the second leg, I would say, finally poised. You know, we really thought it would be closer. We were talking about, you know, Al Ain possibly, you know, keeping it competitive into the center, but they've done far more than that. They were absolutely brilliant. Of course, we can never write off Al Hilal at the end of the day, as spectacular as the match was. It's still two goals. You know, Al Hilal are more than capable of, turning this round. Look, I don't want to say too much about this game because we're going to discuss it with our guest in a bit. You know,
looking forward to that.
It was a sensational match. You know, we'll discuss it more later in the show.
But it's not over, as you quite rightly said, AK. It's not over. Of course, listen, we had some rainstorms last week during the match, and obviously we hope everyone is safe and recovered from anything that may have happened flood-wise. But that meant that the match initially scheduled for Tuesday had to be put back 24 hours. So that's had caused a bit of controversy in Jeddah.
Yeah, because so obviously the match couldn't go on in Al Ain, which had storms as well on Tuesday. So, it was an obvious decision, really. But what happened was, you know, with that delay, it meant that Al Hilal's next SPL match, which was scheduled for Friday, was against Al Ahli. And because it was, I think, 48 hours or less than 48 hours, you know, that match, that league match, had to be postponed. And the SPL postponed it for 17 days later, for May the 6th, you know. Now, that made Al Ahli quite unhappy. You know, they called the new date arbitrary. They said, you know, this goes against fair play and all that. In fact, you know, I mean, it was there was a bit of a domino effect of that, the postponement in Al Ain, because it's not just the Al Ahli match that was postponed, but a couple of other matches for Al Hilal, because Al Hilal's Ahli game was postponed, and then two other league matches. So, Al Ahli said, we don't accept this postponement, but it has been postponed and it will take place, as we know, as things stand on May the 6th. So, yeah, a bit of a, yeah, let's just say Al Ahli were not happy with this at all. I mean, there's always talk of like helping out clubs when they're playing in continental competitions and all that. But I think the fact that it was such a massive postponement, 17 days, probably played a part in Al Ahli's reaction. But we'll wait and see what happens there.
Okay, great update. There's a big win, by the way, for Saudi under-23's team last night in the Asian Cup as well. Things looking good for progress, Paris 24, AK.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we discussed this last week, if you remember, Peter, with Amy. So, yeah, I mean, it's, we know this competition, you know, it's an important competition on its own. It's taking place in Qatar, but it's a pathway to the Summer Olympics. Saudi thrashed Thailand 5-0, thanks to a hat-trick from Abdullah Radif and a goal apiece from Ayman Yahya and Ahmed El Ghamdi. This followed their first, their opening day win, or their opening group match win against Tajikistan. They won that 4-2. So Saudi now top the group with 6 points. They haven't qualified quite yet, you know, although it's looking very good, as you said. But qualification not quite confirmed. Tajikistan and Iraq are both on 3 points. Would expect, you know, a draw against Iraq on Monday would be enough for Saudi to confirm their place in the quarterfinals. In fact, to win the group, you know. Look, I mean, it's looking very good. It's gone as good as possible. They are free scoring. You know, they did concede those two over Tajikistan, but, you know, like 9 goals in 2 matches now. It's looking good. Quick mention for coach Saad Al-Shahri, you know, who's done a really great job, you know, with the under-23s. You know, we sometimes lament the fact that there's not that many Saudi coaches involved in the league, or, you know, or in the with the national team, but he's been there for a while. He's done a great job. Don't forget, he took the team to the last Olympics, where they performed really well. I mean, you know, probably the results don't, if you look at the results in isolation now, they don't look that great, but it was a very tough group. They lost 2-1 to Ivory Coast, 3-2 to Germany, and 3-1 to Brazil, a very, very tough group. But they actually performed really well, I remember. So yeah, good job by Coach Saad Al-Shahri, and we expect Saudi to progress to the quarterfinals. Quick point, I know I mentioned this last week, but for our listeners, you know, this competition, 16 teams, you know, 4 groups of 4, obviously top 2 from each group go to the quarterfinals, and then it's, you know, obviously a knockout competition. The top 3 in the competition, the 2 finalists and the team that wins the third place playoff automatically go to Paris. And the losing, the team that finishes 4th still has an opportunity against one of the African qualifiers. So, yeah, that's...
if you wanted a more detailed outlook of how this tournament works, I you wouldn't get one anywhere else. Fantastic. Listen, of course, we've had several SPL matches as well in the last few days. But before we do that, looking at you both on camera with your both got the most amazing sort of, what I say, cultivated beard. So my question before we get into the SBL is Cristiano's new beard, is it AI or is it real? That seems to be what's trending in the news. We'll ask our guest that a bit later on. But listen, we have had several SBL matches, Ali, in the last few days.
Yeah, you'd be excused for, you know, being distracted with some of the other matches that have taken on, you know, with this SPL, at least the destination of the title already known. But the pick of the bunch were a big 5-0 win for Al-Shabaab against Abha and Riyadh. And Al-Nasr beat 10-man Fayha 3-1 with a couple of goals there for Sadio Mane as well. Those were the two big, it doesn't really change the top of the table much, of course. As we know, Al Hilal are running away with the title. Al Nasr safe in second place, 11 points behind Al Hilal. Al Ahli are third. And Al Taawun back up to fourth after they drew 1-1 with Al Khalij.
The entertainers. So, you know,
yeah, we like Al Taawun. We've praised them and still hanging in there. So fantastic for them. Although, of course, I think they'll be disappointed. They didn't win that match, you know, but it does take them back to fourth. Reigning champions, it had point behind Al Taawun in fifth. So I mean, yeah, great, it's
we know about the title race, but still the league, it's been an absolutely tremendous season. Great time to bring in our special guest, the chiseled Ronaldo looking Matt Monaghan, our Middle East football expert. Matt, how are you?
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, I think.
You say that every week.
Yeah, well, so is it real? Like, yeah, I think the beard's great. And I noticed there's a similar
debate. Is it real, Matt? I
don't know, but I've noticed the similar debate about Mark Zuckerberg, hasn't there? Is his facial hair real or fake recently, or at Zuck, as we should now call him? And yeah, good company to be in for Ronaldo.
Yeah, maybe Peter. Maybe it's just like, you know, I know you've been banging on about this for a few weeks. You know, Ronaldo, the end of the season hasn't gone great well for him. Maybe he's just let himself go. He said, "That's it. I don't care. Yeah. I'm growing my beard."
Growing his beard, and it still looks brilliant. Matt, yeah. As always, it's great to have you along. So much for us to digest as there is every week. So, AK, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, Matt. I mean, obviously, Matt and I were actually texting during that fantastic game between Al Ahly and Al Hilal. Matt, I mean, what a game. I mean, where do we start? I'll leave it to you.
It was breathless, wasn't it? Yeah. I'd say, well, credit to the players as well, because obviously, let's not forget the game was rescheduled for 24 hours because of the severe weather in the UAE. So you're wondering what kind of condition, both mentally and physically, the players are in. But what a show they put on for us.
Incredible. I mean, you know, that start from good crowd in at Hazard Stadium, you know, like behind Al Ahly, which we expect.
But and also, you know, credit to the crowd as well, because again, the conditions in even in Al Ahly, the people, like the local fans, which it was terrible weather. So fill out the Hazard is amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was a great turnout, and you know, passionate crowd, as we know with Al Ahly fans. But what that start by Al Ahly, you know, like they absolutely blitzed Al Hilal. You know, do you think? I mean, Al Hilal should have been prepared, but probably they weren't prepared for that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and that's led by the athleticism of Rahimi. I think he just symbolizes everything. He's got to be one of the quickest players I've ever seen, Rahimi, and the way he's able to sustain those sprints as well. He's just been. I mean, it's been a remarkable few months for him. It's like in the UAE Pro League, 7-16, which is good, but not incredible. But the AFC Champions League, 11-10. And also just so many clutch moments as well from the penalty spot. That early finish, just racing through the defence. I think he set the tone for Al Ahly, who were just, I think they were just monsters in midfield, as well, the likes of Abolushi, Nadir, Park, who I think has been one of the signings in the Middle East this summer, the South Korea defence midfielder we saw at the Asian Cup. Like the quality of Palacios as well on the ball, the former Golden Boy nominee, which I guess we'll get onto that in a minute, the youthful foreign recruitment, I think, by Al Ahly and also by UAE football, a progress that began several years ago. I think we saw that, the benefits of that today, and also a reason why from next summer, Saudi Arabia are basically trying to copy the same approach.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you mentioned Rahimi's pace there, but I felt like, you know, Al Hilal, whether Al Hilal played a very high line and all that, but those first three goals, obviously Rahimi's first goal and the two penalties, the penalties came from players being, you know, through one-on-one as well, you know, and fouled by the guy. So again, you know, the pace just putting Al Hilal's defence in massive trouble and, you know, just sort of cutting through them, really.
Yeah, I've got to give credit there, as I mentioned Rahimi before, Eric, who won the second penalty, I guess we can now call him the Brazilian Emirati. Eric began his career at Internacional, has been in the UAE for 3 or 4 years now. So he's got his Emirati citizenship, which of course changes the dynamics when it comes to eligibility for UAE AFC competitions. And that's I think a big part of this. If you look at the Al Ahly starting team, one, two, three, four. So you got 6 foreign-born players in the Al Ahly lineup, which is obviously beyond the threshold. But because of the long-term UAE strategy, going back now to 2020, of bringing in 21 foreign players who, with a view to them being naturalised within 3 years and playing for the UAE senior team within 5 years, that now we're in the window where it's starting to bear fruit. You've got guys. You have the first. First one of those that group who made his debut for the UAE last month. And then, yeah, Eric, he's going to be in there soon. Otone, who's an outstanding centre-back, has actually rejected call-ups to the Ivory Coast in recent years because, he wants to play for the UAE eventually. And we see a lot of benefits there. I think there's clubs outside of Saudi Arabia, the financial power of Saudi Arabia. You've got to think of different methods to try and compete with Saudi Arabian clubs. And also Saudi Arabian national team as well. And the UAE have gone, how can we make our player pool bigger? How can we make ourselves more competitive? And they put a long-term faith and long-term investment in lots of outstanding young players. And now's the time that's bearing fruit. And I think in a region that's not known for its patience within football decision makers, I think we really have to give credit to that call.
That's great stuff, Matt. And I think, as you say, this is the window where it's starting to bear fruit. We'll start to see the results in the coming years. So that's great. But also, I wanted to, that's as a policy across the UAE. But, you know, I wanted to talk about Al Ain in particular, you know, and of course, the job that Crespo's done. I mean, fantastic that they've got themselves into this position.
Also, I'd say for Crespo, he's shown that he can learn on the job. Obviously, a year or so ago, same stage of the competition, his Al Dahail team got absolutely mullered by Al Hilal. I think the general consensus is they came into that game, played far too wide open, and Al Hilal just ripped them to shreds. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was a record defeat by some distance at that stage of the competition. And yeah, Al Ain played a cagey game. They had less possession, less shots. Were happy to hit on the counter. And like you said, like you mentioned right at the start, with the athleticism of the likes of Eric, Rahimi, Belushi, all very quick runners, powerful runners. And yeah, it paid dividends against an Al Hilal team. It seemed strange. They just didn't know how to cope with that level of athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've spoken about Al Ain, and look, again, massive credit to Crespo, to the players, fantastic results, and to the fans, you know, and we look forward to seeing them in the return leg. But we've got to talk about Al Hilal, you know. I think, like I said, got caught really in that first half, you know. It's as if they were not expecting that. They really did look like, I would never say they underestimated anyone, but, you know, I think, you know, they've been so confident, 34 wins in a row. And, you know, we've been saying it, when will that draw or loss come? And it came in spectacular fashion. I did see signs in the second half where, you know, they actually got their act together. Obviously, because of the deficit, obviously that was still a big deficit. They made it 3-1 at some point, and then it went back to 4-1. But they did put Al Ain under a lot of pressure in certain points, you know. And you would have imagined, they did hit the post in the last minute, if I recall correctly, Matt. You know, it could have made it 4-3, and then it would have been really close and all that. So not all over yet for them. You know, you would expect them to, you would expect this result to give them a good wake-up call, I think.
I think it's time to talk about a player that was missing last week and will, I'm sure, 99.9% be missing the coming week as well, Mitrovic.
Yes.
I think his absence was keenly felt in that game. He would have, I'm sure, change the complexion, because, I mean, Malcolm's been in wonderful goal scoring form. I think that's 7 in his last 5 now. So we don't need to talk anymore about Salem Aldosari. We know exactly what he's about. But I think, you know, Al Hamdan, he's not that young anymore, the striker that George Jesus went with up top. I wonder if there's any regrets about not starting with Al Shehri. I'm sure that will be corrected in Riyadh for the next game. I think it would have been a totally different game with Mitrovic, totally different tie. And I'm highly confident we will see Al Shehri, obviously a goal scorer at World Cup 2022. Such a reliable presence as a, you know, he doesn't get many opportunities, does he, for Al Hilal, Al Shehri, but he's never let the club down. And yeah, that could be the stage for him next midweek.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, really good point about Mitrovic. I said earlier in the season, really, you could make a case for him for being the signing of the season, you know. There has been quite a lot of the signings have done a good job. Few haven't. But Mitrovic has been sensational, you know. As is, you know, I mean, like Sergei Milinkovic-Savic also for Hilal. He's had a great season as well. Malcolm, obviously, you know, has had, as you've already mentioned him. And, elsewhere, other players have been up and down. Mane, Firmino and others. Kante's had a great season. Fabinho. But really, Mitrovic has been sensational, you know. And for me, the signing of the season. So he was a big miss. You know, I think we forget sometimes with Al Hilal, because they've got so many stars, so many options, you know, that you think, and they keep winning, that it doesn't really affect them when they have injuries. But in this case, it did. And of course, let's not forget, as we always mention, Neymar's hardly played at all. You know, imagine this team with Neymar and Mitrovic firing on all cylinders. So,
I would quickly interject and say that Al Ain can say the same. Obviously, Kodjo Fodor Labba, pretty much always the top scorer in the ADNOC Pro League, and he's really struggling to overcome injuries. Just not when he's played a bit since he picked up a muscle injury, and he's not looked the same player. He's a guy his record over a long period in the UE top flight is a goal, at least a goal every game.
No, absolutely.
And he didn't start. He wasn't a I don't think he even made the squad. He wasn't considered fit enough. So that can go both ways.
Absolutely. And anyone who reads Matt's brilliant UAE Football League summaries for us every week for the last 2 years will know how much Matt is a fan of his. And just how much we've written about him and his goal scoring exactly. form. So absolutely, it's
and the big thing about Labo as well is he's a clutch player. So yeah. He doesn't just score against the lesser lights. He nets in the big games as well. He's a massive big game player, the Togo international. So yeah, that's the thing as well.
Yeah, Labo. I mean, like Matt mentioned, he's talking about like how his record is a goal a game, and you know, with Matt's rap. Of the UAE Pro League every week, he does like a player of the week, goal of the week, you know, and talking points and all that, and you know, at some point it seemed like Labo was there, it was in there every week, you know, either goal of the week or a player of the week. So yeah, really good point to highlight there, Matt. Quick mention off the Saudi under 23 team, you know, again, I mentioned earlier in the show, Saad Al-Shahri, the coach, done a great job and all that. Do you see Saudi Arabia qualifying for the Olympics?
Yeah, I think they've got a major chance. And it's actually, I'd say this is twofold. There's two reasons. A, you've got several players in that squad who were at the World Cup and or at the Asian Cup, the senior competitions recently. So there's plenty of talent there. Yeah. And B, the fact this tournament, I think this is probably the last COVID-affected tournament. And because of that, you've had to get pushed into outside a FIFA window. So several nations, the big, big nations in this competition have just not been able to select anywhere near like their strongest teams, the likes of South Korea, Australia, even like Iraq, teams like that. Yeah. So yeah, I think Saudi Arabia, as obviously let's not forget they're holders of this competition, would have had a very strong case to make the semi-finals anyway. Because it's all about making the semi-finals. If you make the semi-finals, you've got a very good chance of making the Olympics. They would have had a good shout at that anyway. But I think more like looking towards winning the competition, that you know, the Roshan Saudi League teams have pretty much, you know, you can select who you want. And they've, you know, likes of Radif, obviously he's scoring a hat-trick the other day. We saw him score at the Asian Cup against South Korea in the senior competition. Yahya is selected for the World Cup. He's netted in this competition. So yeah, I think they're in a very strong position. And with Al-Shehri as well, he's got just so much experience at this level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'll, like I said, a draw against Iraq should see them through. And then, as you mentioned, you know, it's a quarterfinals, semifinals. If you get to the semifinals, you've got 75% chance of automatic promotion. You know, you're almost there. And then even if you finish fourth, you still have that playoff. So
yeah.
Really.
And looking at the knockouts as well, I think obviously nothing's a gimme, but you're looking at, I think if they win Group C, which is looking highly likely, they face the second team in Group D, and that looks like, you know, Vietnam, Uzbekistan, Kuwait, Malaysia are the teams in that group. So I think you would back this Saudi Arabia to overcome those teams.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome stuff. Matt, as you know, we're never going to let you go quietly out that side door here at Dowry. Going to put you on the spot. This is the big one. Can Al Hilal turn the tie around? Will they? And what's your score prediction?
I think Al Ain will do enough to hold on. Because I think I think we'll go back to the previous round against Al Nasser. Al Ain were, it hadn't been for their usually reliable goalkeeper, Khalid Essa. He's pretty much always the UAE number one in the last few years, having an aberration of a performance. They would have quite comfortably beaten an Al Nasser that had obviously Cristiano Ronaldo starting for them. I think Al Ain are just, I think they'll do it. I think they've got this two-goal cushion. It looks, I'm pretty sure it's pretty much 100% that Mitrovic is not going to play in the next game. So I think they will have enough to see it through. And then Rahimi, the absolute outstanding player of this AFC Champions League edition. I don't think there's any debate about that. And also as well, this Al Ain team is set up to just perfectly set up for this game, because obviously Al Hilal are going to need to attack, which is going to lead spaces. And you've got the pace of Rahimi, maybe Lab will be there, maybe not. If not, you've got the Kaku, who will be threading through the passes again. Somebody who has got the most assists in Roshan Saudi League last season when he was at Al Tawun. He's playing for Al Ain now. So I think they'll do it. And I think just the way this competition has gone for Al Ain, sometimes you just feel that a club has got their name written on a trophy, and that's how it feels for Al Ain. Obviously, Al Ain, the only UAE team to win the AFC Champions League more than 20 years ago now, and it feels like this could be the time again.
Interesting. AK, the same question's going to you, but I'm going to ask, will a home advantage, just playing devil's advocate on that, do you think it can, I mean, obviously it can be done. It's a team that's won so many games in a row. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think home advantage will definitely play a part. It did for Al Ain, and we know Al Hilal fans will be out in force for this one. Sure, it'll be an incredible atmosphere. Look, I mean, it's such a tough one to call. I mean, like, and it's hard to go against anything that Matt said. They're really, I mean, and I know Matt, you've watched Al Ain quite a lot, probably a lot more than I have. So he knows the strength of this team, and you know, mentioned the Mitrovic thing. You know, I keep going back to Al Hilal's last chance in the match when we could have made it 4-3. You know, late on, and then it would have been slightly different. But then you think, you know, like, would it, you know, an early goal would set up a similar scenario as well. You know, like get an early goal like in the first few minutes, and then you are back to 4-3. So it's really, really tough. But they do have to win by 3 to go through. You know, obviously, like, it could go to penalties. I feel like Al Hilal will win, but seeing how Al Ain played in Saudi last time out against Al Nassr, I just think that, you know, that 2-goal deficit, you know, will work to the benefit. I think I think Al Hilal will win, but it'll only be by 1-goal margin.
Yeah, I think just looking at this competition as a whole, UAE clubs have done really well in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, you go all the way back to the playoff round, Shabab Ali within a few seconds of dumping Al Nassr out in the playoff round, Al Ain beating Al Fayhah, Al Ain obviously that epic match against Al Nassr in Riyadh in the last round. And I think this is where, again, I'll go back to, I think the player eligibility rules and the way the UAE have really intelligently interpreted those rules over a medium to long term strategy. I think it does make a difference. I think Al Ain will have just about to get through here. It's going to be a nervy roller coaster match them, but I think they'll have just enough to get through.
Super stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt, as always.
Matt, absolutely brilliant to have you with us, as always. That's it for another episode of Dowry. This is Pete Redding. I'm off to grow a Ronaldo-like beard because the gents already have one. We will see you next week on our next episode of Dowry.